taking a step of faith. No, it's not a step. This is a leap. This is like a leap, and it looks like nothing's there but God. And you know what? God is enough. So I want to let you know that after Eric is done, and this is not like depending upon you give an offering if it's good or not, but it's going to be amazing. But we're gonna pass, believe it or not, the offering bag. We haven't done that now for like a year, so. But we're going to pass the offering bag to bless them and send them away with our love and our support. So if you want to be praying about it as he's sharing about what the Lord would have you do to bless them as they go. And at this time, Eric, please come up. Eric. Huh? Okay. Now, maybe everybody doesn't know his story, their story, but they are headed in about 2 hours to Bethel. Huh? Are you guys leaving immediately following? You're just getting in the van? We're gonna be able to wave you guys off as you go? I know the U-Haul's in the church. That is, as I was telling him yesterday, that's a faith on wheels vehicle right now. Are you going to share what it's about, or... Yeah, kind of. Let me just put it this way. They are actually being Abraham's. They are heading off and just being obedient to God, say, go. And they are going down to Reading, believing that when they get there, God's got everything all worked out. So this is a couple that is ready to fly out and leap in faith. We're gonna bless them as a church, send them off with our love. But I want you to hear the word. I told him yesterday, or maybe it was Friday, I said, listen, I want this to be a message like Jesus left the earth when he was leaving. So make it, because we don't get to hear you for 9 months, so make sure it's one that we hear and we are able to obey, right? Love you, brother. Okay.
Good. Seeing how we're taking an offering for us after, I better preach really good. Yes, as Pastor shared, we are heading to we're heading to Portland tonight, but tomorrow we'll actually be heading to Reading, and it's been a journey these last couple months, a journey of just seeking God and everything, and constantly questioning, like, what are we doing? Should we be doing this? Especially after I preached last month and actually announced it to the church, and I was like, crap, now I got to actually do it. And every other night I'm asking Nancy, like, are you sure you want to do this? Because, you know, we could back out, and, you know, people will forget eventually that we made fools of ourselves. And she continued to say yes, and I'm so thankful for my wife, because it was these last couple months have been just a roller coaster of emotions. I'd come home just at my lowest point, and she would be at her highest point because she'd been worshiping all day, and so she'd be able to lift me up. And then vice versa, she'd come home in her lowest point, and I'd be at my highest point, so I'd be able to lift her up. So it's been a journey, and the U-Haul's all packed, our minivan's all packed. Yes, I drive a minivan. And I'm rolling in the minivan. I told Nancy when we got married and stuff, I was like, we're not going to get a minivan. If we'll get something with three rows, but we're going to ride in style. And just the way God works is funny. And so pretty soon here, I'm going to start tucking in my shirts and wearing a phone clip, grow a goatee out, and just do the dad thing, shave my head bald after the man I look up to, and just, you know... But it's been fun. The minivan's been fun. It's been interesting to bump in that thing. And, you know, I have the button and the door opens. And so I feel all gangster because I'm like, my door opens. You got to open your door button. And so I don't care what you guys say. Minivans are cool. But I'm not here to talk about minivans. I'm here to talk about a message that God put on my heart, and this is a verse that when I first really started walking seriously with God, it really jumped out at me in my Bible. And it's 1 Corinthians 9:24. And like I said, this is a verse when I read it, it just came up and it popped out at me, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is so, God just spoke to me and that it's insane. This is what I want you to do. It's so simple, yet it is so complex at the same time. If you read along with me, it's 1 Corinthians 9:24. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I feared that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the word that you've placed on my heart. And God, I just pray, Lord, for every person out here, Jesus, that, Lord, this word would be relevant to them, God. I thank you, Jesus, that your word is alive, that your word is relevant today, Jesus, that it's just not for back in the day, Lord, but it's for now, it's for today, it's for tomorrow, it's for forever, God. And I just pray a blessing over this service. And I thank you so much, Lord, for your wonderful presence in this place. And everybody said, amen. Do we have any runners in the house? Anybody like to run? Oh, Rosa Jackson likes to run. She's always posting stuff. I don't actually know if she runs because she's just always posting pictures and like in the mirror. And this is where I'm going to run. She probably just takes a picture, gets back in her car, and goes home. I'm just kidding. No, I know she runs. And she's always posting stuff, and it's funny. And I like to run. I like to run on the treadmill because where we live, there's a lot of dogs and stuff. And we have a dog that kind of runs with us sometimes, like at our house, but he's like a big dog and you think he'd be all tough, but he's really a wuss. And anytime like a little dog comes, he like gets all, I'm like, you're supposed to protect me and this dog is going to attack me. And so I like to run on the treadmill and I like to put my iPhone in front of me and watch Netflix. And so like I combine laziness with activeness, and it works the best of both worlds. Sometimes I almost fall because like I'm laughing or something, or I'm paying too close of attention to my phone. But in this scripture, Jesus or Paul is telling us to run to win. And what he's saying here is that not just to run a race. People sometimes when you're in a race, everybody wants to win, but there's only one winner, right? And in this race of our faith, he's telling us that we need to run to win, that we're not just jogging this race, we're not just merely taking a walk on this race. Although there are some really fast power walkers, my mom used to power walk back in the day, and I would go with her, you know, and I think like, I'm trying to power walk, and she's like super fast, and so like I'm in turn jogging to catch up with her, but we're not. He's telling us that we need to run in a way that we're trying to win. Putting everything we have into this race we called faith, not just to be content with just getting second or third or fourth place and saying, okay, well, at least I got a ribbon, but not being satisfied until we get first place, not being satisfied and running so hard that we're going to win. That's what Jesus calls us to, is to run in such a way that we're going to win. And not just... He also talks about disciplining his body. How do you get disciplined to run? You don't just go run a marathon. That's crazy. You talk to somebody who has ran marathons before, who knows how to run, who knows how to breathe, who knows how to buy the right shoes, all that stuff. And in the same way, you get in your word, and that's how you're able to run this race to win. You surround yourself with people who know what they're talking about, who know what they're doing, and that's how you run this race to win. So many Christians, what they're doing is they're saying, I'm going to go for a run, and then they just kind of, they run a little bit, and they're like, this feels good, I'm good, and then they get tired after a little bit, and they kind of just start jogging, and then eventually it's a walk, and then eventually they stop, and maybe even they turn around. Oops, is right, Sandy. And because God wants us to continue on. And I've never ran a marathon because I don't like to torture myself. And I don't want to run so far where, like, I can't breathe. And my legs, you know, next day I'm walking all limpy and stuff. And so, I just, that's not fun to me. I'd rather just run a couple miles and call it good. But God wants us just to run and have the endurance. And the only way we're going to get the endurance is from him. So turn with me to Mark 10. Mark 10, 17. And this is a verse I read earlier this week in our small group. And Mark 10, 17, it says this. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Notice he ran to Jesus, and then I'm sure he walked away sad. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" This amazed them, but Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world could be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible." With God. This man walks up to Jesus, and he has everything. And he asks, "How do I inherit the kingdom of heaven?" And what Jesus basically tells him, when he tells him, "Sell all your possession," he tells him, "You need to run with everything you have in you. You need to run to win." This guy knew he couldn't do it. That's why he walked away sad. He knew that there were things that he was holding on that wasn't going to allow him, that were going to weigh him down, and they weren't going to allow him to run to win. Some of us, we come to God, we start breaking stuff off of our lives, but then there are things that we just hold on to, and we're like, "God, that's mine. My pastors don't need to know. Church doesn't need to know. My friends, my family, my wife doesn't need to know. This is mine." But the fact is that God knows anyways, and until we're able to give everything up, we're not going to be able to run to win. Until we're able to say, "I need to get all this stuff off of me that's weighing me down," we're not going to be able to sprint to the finish line. What is it in your life that you're holding on to? What is it in your life that you are not giving to God? Because he said it right here, you need to sell everything. You need to give up everything. You need to run this race with everything you have. I don't care if you're tired. I don't care if you're all sweaty and nasty. You need to continue running. You need to continue pushing through, and you need to give it all you have. Not just a little bit, not just some, because just a little bit, just some, isn't going to win this race. Just giving a little part of you, giving a little Sunday morning, given a little Bible study during the week, isn't going to win this race. It's a daily thing. It's an hourly thing. It's a minute thing. Every moment of your life, you need to be running to win. You need to say, "I'm going to get rid of everything." And I'm talking about friends that you hang out with. I'm talking about things that you watch on the TV, things that you listen to on the radio. All these things are going to keep you from inheriting what God has for you. Because you're not going to be able to run to win. They're going to weigh you down, and you're going to think, Why am I not reaching that? Why am I not reaching the blessing that God has for me? Well, it's because you yourself have put up this wall from God. It's not God that his power is limited. It's you're limiting his power by your doing, not by his doing, if that makes sense. Yeah, I think about when my wife and I were first dating. And for those of you who don't know, my wife and I dated for about a year and a half before we got married. And in that time, we lived together before we were married. And in that time, I got saved and I got radically changed by God. I went to our encounter up in the mountains. God grabbed a hold of me and didn't let go. And there was a moment, and I knew that God wanted to bless us more, and I knew that God's blessing was just there waiting to pour out on us. But at the same time, I knew that there was something that was holding me from getting my blessing. And what it was is that I was living with my fiance. And I kept excusing it. I kept excusing, "Well, she's my fiance. We're going to get married eventually. I've already made that covenant with her, kind of. I've given her a ring." But I had not yet cemented that relationship yet. And in doing that, I had not I was blocking the blessing that God had for me. I was running this race and I was continuing to try, but I had this weight that was pulling me back, which was that I was living with my fiance. How many of us make excuses for our sin because we don't want to give it up? Oh, they're not that bad. My friends aren't that bad, you know, and I don't do what they do. Yeah, but you're surrounding yourself with people that aren't going to allow you to run to win. For those of you who run, you ever try to run with a partner and they're not so good at running and they're kind of slower? Rosa, have you ever ran with a partner? Or maybe you are that partner, I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I've ran with people. And I don't like to go super fast, but I like to have a nice pace going because I feel like when you're doing this type of thing, you're not really running. You're just kind of walking in a weird way. And so I like to, you know, get a pace going because if I'm running with somebody like that, I'm not really running with them. They're like, you know, keeping me back. Or it's like running with my father-in-law. This guy can run. And there's this area around our house or the land, and it's we Google mapped it, and it's 3 miles in total from our house. We go around the big old block and come back, and it's 3 miles. And I would go running with him. You want to run? He's like, yeah, and puts on his gear, and he goes, and we're running along pretty well. And I'm thinking, like, keeping good pace. And I'm thinking, man, I'm keeping up with Tim. He's in the National Guard. I could do this. I'm a runner. And then he's like, okay, well, I'm going to start running for real now. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm, like, sweating. I'm tired. What do you mean? He's like, I'll run up there. He runs like a mile up, comes back, runs the other way, comes back. And I mean, and like he goes home and drinks some coffee and then like comes back to me. Like, I'm just like, what the heck? Give me a head start next time. But my point is that if you're running with people that aren't running, have the same mindset, have the same Christ-like mindset as you, then they're going to slow you down. Because if they're running at their pace, which maybe not even be a run at all, and you're trying to keep up with them, you need to leave those people behind. You need to leave those things behind. Those things that are keeping you from running at the pace that God has put you at, you need to just drop those things and say, peace out. I'm going to run the race that God has called me to run, and I'm going to run it to win. James 1. I love James. I love James so much because it just is so real and in your face. And you're like, it's like, stop sinning, idiots, you know. And he doesn't say that. But if I like wrote a translation, I would put that in there. So James 1, 2, and 4. And this is talking, well, I'll just read it. James, what did I say? James 1, verse 2. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. When you're running, like physically running, if you stop every time you get tired and you continue to stop at that point where you get tired and it's at the same mark every time, you're never going to get better at running. Because when you hit that mark, that let's say it's a mile and a half mark, and you want to, I think they call it runner's block, right? Where like you just can't push through, and you're like almost like throwing up and stuff, and you got to push through. You got to have endurance. Because when you have endurance, it allows you to grow. It says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Continue running. Continue running, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Some of you might be in some need right now. Maybe it's because you have stopped running. Maybe it's because you've slowed down your pace. Maybe it's because that you have people that are slowing you down or you have things slowing you down. Keep running. Get rid of those things, and your endurance will grow. Things are going to happen in your life regardless. It don't matter if you've been saved, however long you've been saved, or if you're a pastor of a church. Things are going to happen in your life. But the point is that you keep running. The point is you don't let those things slow down. You keep running. There are times in this journey my wife and I are taking that I wanted to quit and I wanted to throw in the towel. I'm like, babe, this is ridiculous. What are we doing? What are we doing? The only answer that I kept getting from God is, do you trust me? And if you trust me, keep running. I trust God. Do you trust God? If you trust God, keep running. He wants you to run this race to win. I talked about having people that surround you. And let me just take a moment to say, I love our pastors. Our pastors, we have some of the best pastors around. If you have not gotten to know Pastor Mike and Gaylen, you need to take a second, go have coffee with them, hang out with them, because these are great people to be under. I've been at this church for 7 years, something like that, and I remember when I walked in those doors, and the first time I heard Pastor Mike preach, I remember telling Nancy, I really like that guy. I don't know what it is about him, and I don't know what preaching is supposed to sound like, but what he's doing, I think, is what good preaching sounds like. And then throughout the years, my wife and I, you know, we got married, and they were our premarital counseling. And I didn't really like them then because they were telling me stuff I didn't want to hear. And I'm like, I know what I'm doing. This is my wife. And Pastor Mike is like, well, appearance of evil. And I'm like, go home and talking bad about them. I'm just kidding. No, but I love these guys. They really are another set of parents to me and my wife. They have been there for me. And they are a major reason why I'm able to run this race to win. Because when I'm feeling down, I'm able to call them at 6, 7 in the morning crying while they're probably still in bed in their PJs and both talking to me, both counseling me through the things that I needed to hear. That's what type of pastors we have. The type of pastors where you can call upon them and they will lift you up. The kind of pastors that are praying for you guys daily. The kind of pastors that make themselves available to you. They're not just a person up here with a mic. They're people that are made available to you daily. And that's what I'm talking about when you surround yourself with people who are going to allow you to run. My wife is a vital reason why I'm still able to run. Because when I'm doing dumb things and saying stupid things and whatever else dumb things I do, she's like, stop being dumb. And then I'm able to say, okay. And I'm able to run. I there was another time I was at home and I got a bill in the mail. And before this, my wife and I were clearing our credit. We're paying our bills. We're doing our thing. And I get this letter in the mail, and it was for a bill for that I knew, no, we've paid, but I call my wife, babe, where's the confirmation that we've paid this? Could not find it. So I'm like, God, really? I have this bill to pay now, and I know I've paid it, and I'm just stressing out. And would you know it, like, I think it was like 20 minutes, half an hour later, I get a call from my friend Nick, and Nick and his wife aren't here today, but he called me, and he said, hey, I just felt that I needed to call you to make sure you're okay. And his call was exactly what I needed. God spoke to him and said, call Eric. And through that, he was able to pray with me, able to lift me up. That's the type of people that I want to surround myself with, not people that are going to bring me down. People that are going to pray for me when I need it. People who are going to tell me when I'm doing not so smart things. People who are going to lift me up. People who are going to invite me in their homes and speak into my life and speak life into my life. Support me in my decisions. Those are the type of people that I want to surround myself with. In Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15:22. Simple verse. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. You want success in your life? You get advisors around you that know God. You want success in your life? You want to run this race to win? Then you get rid of the friends that are still living like they're in high school, living like they're in college, kind of just living life as is. And you start surrounding yourself with people that are going to allow you to run this race to win. Now, nobody's perfect. There are people that are going to fail you. I'm not telling you to put your faith in people because people will fail you. What I'm telling you to do is to get a group of people that surrounds you that is going to pray for you, that is going to speak words into your life, that is going to advise you when things are good, when things are bad. People that are going to be real with you. Not a surface relationship, a real relationship. The type of relationship that I have with my pastor is the type of relationship where he could tell me, no, you shouldn't do this. Yes, you should do this. And me be able to trust him and trust his word, trust that he's seeking God and all of those things. And then Proverbs 24:6. Just a couple pages over, says 24:6. So don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. You want victory? You want success? Get people around you who are going to be wise in their advice to you. Get many advisors, not just any Joe Schmo. I'm talking about people like your pastors, people like the leadership in the church, people that you know seek God. Start surrounding yourself with people like that. If your life is in chaos right now, maybe it's because the people you have surrounding you are causing that chaos without you even knowing it. You're surrounding yourself with chaos-like people, people who have no hold on their life, people who have no hold on their relationship with Jesus, and you're attaching your faith to that. Attach your faith to something that is strong, to someone who is strong in God. Psalm 143:8 says, "Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. For the glory of your name, O Lord, preserve my life. Because of your faithfulness, bring me out of this distress. In your unfailing love, silence all my enemies and destroy all my foes, for I am your servant." The one most important thing, important person, important relationship you need to have, and that's going to allow you to run this race to win is your relationship with God, is your relationship with the Father. You could have as many advisors as you want, but until your relationship with God is cemented, and I mean a relationship where you can't go a moment without thinking about him, a relationship where you can't make a decision without seeking your God first, that type of relationship, being led by God, allowing God to come into your plans and say, "That's good and all, but how about my plans? Let's put your plans aside, and how about my plans?" Let God lead every step that you take. Let God lead every step where you're running this race to win, almost like you're running it blindly. The only light that you can see is his light, where you're just saying, "I have to see that light. I need to run that way, and I need to run in such a way that I'm going to win. I need to run like in such a way I'm going to be the first person there." Proverbs 16. We're going to jump around a little bit in this verse, or in this chapter. And starting in 1, it says, "We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer." We can make all the plans we want, but if we're truly seeking God, he's going to give us the answer. Jump down to 9. It says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." Jump over to 35. "We may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall." We can try to make this thing happen the way we want it to happen, and we may have a little bit of success. We may be ahead of the game a little bit, but until we are allowing God to guide our steps, we're not truly running this race to win. We're not truly running with everything we have, giving it our all. And that's why I'm able to make this decision. Now, I don't want you guys to think that I have it all together, because I don't. And I'm scared out of my mind about the move that we're making, about what we're doing. However, I know that I serve a God that's bigger than it all. And I know that the bigger the problem is, the bigger the platform is that God has to perform. I know that in my time in need, God will come through. It's not a matter of if or when. It's he will come through. And something my wife continued to remind me every time I would say something that was kind of doubtful, she would say, "How big is our God?" And that is something you need to ask yourself on a daily basis. When you're doubting anything that is in your life, when you're running and you're like, "I can't run this anymore," how big is your God? He's going to push you through. He's going to give you the endurance. You have people advising you, surrounding you. He's going to guide them as well. And you just have a group of people that are following you and that you're following them, kind of like Forrest Gump. I love that movie. But the difference is that when you run with God, you're not going to stop. And you shouldn't stop. Some of you may be here today, and your relationship with God at one point was great. And you were here every Sunday. You were serving God, reading your Bible, and something happened. Whatever it is, God didn't stop moving. You stopped moving towards him. God wants you to keep running. And the great thing about this race is that you run to win. As you, even though you may stop, it's not, you kind of just pick up where you left off. It's not like you have to start over and say, well, okay, well, now I got to, you know, go to transformed again, and now I got to, you know, get saved again. No, just give your heart to God all the way and run. Run to win. Stop jogging. Stop walking. Stop stopping and go. God is calling you guys to go. God is doing something and continues to do something amazing in this church. Some of you haven't taken a hold of it yet, and you need to run. And I'm not saying you have full faith, you put all your faith in the church, or you put all your faith in Pastor Mike and Gay. What I'm saying is that you put your faith in God. And you put your faith that God has ordained this church to do what it's doing, that God has ordained our pastors to lead the way they've been leading, and that in that you trust God. Because the truth is man will fail you. And I tell my students that all the time, is that I'm going to fail you. Don't put your faith in me, all your faith in me. Like, I'm not saying that I'm going to purposely fail you, but I'm saying that in my faith, if I, God forbid, I walk away from the Lord, where does that leave you? If Pastor Mike, God forbid, walks away from God, where does that leave you? Is your faith in a man, or is your faith in God? Okay, because Pastor Mike can help you run, but the only way who will enable you to run is God. And I want to run to win. I've so many years in my life have, in the beginning of my walk, just kind of, that's what it was. It was a walk. It was a walk of faith. It was a walk to church. It was a walk to read my Bible. But I don't want to, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to walk to anything that has to do with God. I want to run to it. I want to run to Reading with everything in me. I want to run through this 9 months with everything in me. I want to get so touched by God and know that I was running with everything in me, and I did not let up once. No matter how tired, no matter how hard it got, no matter what, that I ran this race to win. What is it in your life that is stopping you from running? That is stopping you from God's blessing? That is stopping you from putting everything you have into it? Because nothing in this world is eternal except your relationship with God. Nothing in this life is going to give you any eternal value except your relationship with God, except God's love. And so why hold on to it? Why let the people, the things, whatever it is, slow you down? Why run in such a way where you're okay with getting second place, being content with just where you're at with God? That doesn't make any sense. Run to win. Run to win. If you'll stand with me. Like I said, the only reason I'm able to run in such a way, to run, make this move to Reading, isn't because of anything that I'm doing, but it's really because of God. All of it is God. And like I said, I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't scared. But what suppresses my fear is my relationship with God, is how amazing God has been in my life, in my marriage, in my children, seeing my children rise up in the things of God, seeing my children pray for my wife and I when we're sick or when we're hurting, pray for other people when they're sick and they're hurting, seeing just what God's been doing in this place. I look at that and I say, God, I want to run for you. I want to run for you, God. And if you want to run for God today with everything in you, not letting up, not giving up, because it's going to get hard. And I know these 9 months are going to be really hard at times. But if you want to be a person who runs this race to win, I just want you at your seat, just raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand with everything in you. And you, right now, at your seat, I'm not going to ask you to come up, because just you can make that declaration where you're at right now. Jesus, every hand raised to you, Lord, right now, we want to run to win, Jesus. We want to run to you, God. We don't want to do this race in vain, God. We're not content with second, third, fourth place, God. We want first place, Jesus. We want to run in such a way, Jesus, that even when we get tired, God, even when we don't feel like we have the endurance, Jesus, Lord, that we would grab hold of you, God. We would grab hold of what you've given us, Jesus, the power, Lord, that you've instilled in us, God. And, Lord, your endurance, Jesus, would be inside of us, God. And we would be able to run, Lord, through trials, God, through sicknesses, Jesus, through financial burdens, God, through whatever, God, broken relationships, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now, God, that we would be able to run in such a way, Jesus, that we would be able to jump over obstacles, God, that we would use those obstacles, Jesus, to jump on to get closer to you, Jesus, that, Lord, we would run, God, so hard, so long, God. People would look at us, Lord, and they would wonder, why are they running so hard? And they would just run with us, God. Lord, that we would grab other people and say, come on, you got to run this race with me. Come on, I want you to see Jesus as well. And we wouldn't be afraid to say, this is why I run. Run with me. God, I thank you, Jesus, for being in this place, God. I thank you, God, that you allow us to run to you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that the relationship, Lord, that you have with us is a real relationship, an unconditional love relationship, God. And Lord, that when we run to you, God, Lord, the eternal prize is heaven. The eternal prize is you, God. Lord, bless all these lives. Bless our life, God. And God, when we get tired, when we get weary, God, Jesus, we hold on to you in your endurance, God. Not our endurance, nothing that we're doing, God, but your endurance, God, allows us to run to win, Jesus. I thank you so much, God. I thank you so much, Jesus, for your presence, Jesus. Thank you so much for your presence, Jesus. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, Jesus. What I love about the bridge in this song, and it's something we don't usually sing. We don't have to sing it, but it's something that we don't usually sing, and I think it's because Lynette thinks it's kind of weird, but it's okay. But listen to this. It says, if you want it, come and get it. For crying out loud. And I believe that when that song was written, I believe it was because it was like, come on, it's right there. Come get it. Run. Let's go. Come get it. For crying out loud. The only person that is stopping you from receiving what God has for you is you. Point blank. I don't care what happened when you were a kid. I don't care what happens at your home. Run to God. He'll solve all those details. He'll take care of all the little details. He'll take care of the things. But you need to first start running and stop staying stagnant. Start running for crying out loud. Crying out loud.
Cause this love that he has given to you is never in doubt. Let go of your heart, let go of your head, feel him now.
Let's sing that part real softly. This one.
Let go of your heart. Let go of your head. Feel him now.
Because it's you. It's your heart, your head that keeps you away from what God has for you. Let go of it all. Break the mindsets. Break all those chains right now. Break all of them. Let go.
Let go of your heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let go of your head and feel him now.
Yes, God, we feel you, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Let go of your heart.
That's right, that's right.
Go of your head.
Thank you, Jesus.
Feel him now.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I want to do something. I want to have the students, all the students come up. I want to have all the students come up. If you're a student in school, elementary school, high school, whatever, I don't care. Just come up. If you guys don't know, I've served in the youth ministry for the last couple of years, and my wife and I have just poured everything we have alongside Josh and Michelle, and it's been such an honor. And in the decision to make this move, this has been the biggest. It was hard to make this decision because of this. Because I was like, what about the students? What about Allison? What about Timmy? And I know that they're left in really good hands. But I miss them. And I love them. And I love being able to act like a 13-year-old kid. I don't love smelling 13-year-old boys, but I love acting like one. And so I want to speak directly to you guys. Because I'm saying run this race to win. Because you guys are in one of the hardest times of your life that you'll probably ever experience. Now, you'll get hard in the future when you're an adult. Believe me, I know. But I know that when you're in elementary school, when you're in junior high, when you're going through all that, you're getting, like, your voice is in your armpit hair. And, I mean, it's all good. But it's hard. And you get into high school, and it gets even harder. And you're like, why don't people just like me? Why don't people just, why? You guys run to win. The standard of kids, of junior high students, of high school students is this. It's really low. They're going to party. They're going to drink. They're going to do things with the opposite sex. Raise the standard. That's your guys' job. To stand up and say, no, I stand for God. That I'm going to do something different. I don't care if I'm a loser. I don't care if I have to sit at the lunch table by myself. I'm going to live for God. I don't care what anybody says about me. I'm going to live for God. Run to win. Run to win. Some of you guys have been talking about doing some school ministries. Do it with everything in you. Run to win. Run with it. Don't just let it be words, because you only get to be in, well, hopefully, you only get to be in eighth grade once, in high school once. Hopefully. But I'm not just singling you out, Timmy. But it only happens once. And I wish I could go back to junior high in Lewis and Clark and go to Davis and just wreck that school. Now you guys have the opportunity. Run to win. So I want to pray for you guys. Jesus, I thank you for these students. I thank you, Lord, that you have called them for such a time. I thank you, Jesus, that as long as they start running to you, continue to run to you, Jesus, that they will not lose, that they will run to win, Jesus, that when things get hard, they can count on your endurance, God. And I just pray a blessing, Jesus, in all of these students' lives, God, Lord, that they will run in such a way, Jesus, Lord, that they will not get tired, that they will not get weary, God, that they will not give up, Jesus, they will not slow down, they will not stop. But Jesus, they will live for you, Lord, in such a big way, God. They will be different, God. They won't be the same. They don't want to be like the world. They want to be like you. Little Christ all over the place, all over the valley, all over the Yakima Valley. And I thank you for this right now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the next generation right here. Actually, it's not the next generation. This is the generation. Okay? It's not for tomorrow. It's for today. Okay? So stop looking at your kids like they're just kids and having these lower expectations. You raise the expectations on them as well. I love you guys. Thank you.
Will you be seated for a moment? Well, he did it, didn't he? He gave us a message like the Lord wanted us to hear. What did Jesus say? Go, tarry, wait in Jerusalem, and get ready to run. That's what he told his disciples. That's what you told us, except we don't have to wait. We can just run. Nancy, would you come on up? Thank you, Lord. We were praying for them last night, and it's kind of like when the reality started hitting as I was praying for you guys. I'm sure It's been reality for you for several months now because you've been getting ready. But as I said last night, and I say again, we love you. You are family. And if you guys need something, you call us. You call us. Because we feel that we're going with you. Even though we're not going to be there, our spirits, our heart, our cheering you on is with you. Just know that. And we love you guys. And we're so proud of you. And such an honor to see you guys' life just be lived out in faith before us. I know you're an example. You guys don't realize it. The example that you're to some of these younger ones that you were just encouraging, Eric. Because there's not a lot of champions this day. A lot of people just take the easy way. And you guys are not taking the easy way. And you're giving someone an opportunity to look and say, wow, you can live by faith still. It still works. And we're so encouraged and blessed. And it has been an honor to have you here the last 7 years. And we look forward to you coming back. Right? God willing. What's that? And honey, would you come up? And I would like the staff to come up. It's your staff, but you're already here. And Katie, would you please come up? Because Katie, where are you at? She's going to be joining them. She's going to go down there and start her walk of faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you just extend your hand? We're going to bless them. Then we're going to be able to bless them financially. Lord, we thank you, God, for this couple. God, I thank you, Lord, that they are a couple of faith, a family of faith. Thank you for Katie, God. Thank you, God, that you are doing a marvelous work here right before our eyes, God. And Lord, we look forward to the report of the miracle that has taken place. God, when they get there, Lord, and you have prepared a way where right now there seems to be no way with natural eyes. But God, as we've said so many times, we choose to look at the things that are not seen. The things that are not seen is your word, your promises, your spirit that leads us, God. And we know, Lord, that you're going to be with them. You're going to guide them every step of the way. You're going to meet every financial need that comes along, Lord. And we thank you, God, for this family, Lord. Protect them, keep them, Lord, until you return them back to us. Lord, thank you, God, for the work that's going to take place. God, the transformation, the transfiguration that's going to take place during this next 9 months, God. And Lord, you will get the glory. You will get the honor. No man will glory in this. God, you will get the glory, God, for what you're doing in this family. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we now have an opportunity to bless them. Now, there's also a website, right, that they can go to if they're not prepared right now. Is that true, Eric? So hopefully before you leave, you can get me that website, and I'll put it on a card and I can hand it out because I know there's some folks here or not here this weekend that would love to be able to help bless you guys. So if you guys could do that, get me that website. It's a link where you can go to Bethel and you can be supported for your tuition and other things. And then when you guys have your address, you can give that to us. And someone wants to send something to you personally, they can do that as well. So, Lord, we thank you, God, that you've given us resources in our life. Lord, you are the one, God, that has given us everything that we have, Lord. We have nothing, God, that even is by our own hands, Lord, because you've given us the strength and the ability and the life, Lord, to work, Lord. And so we ask right now, God, that you would just allow, Lord, what you've given us, Lord, to be received back, Lord, to this couple, Lord, to bless them, God, as they journey, Lord, in faith now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Prayers. As you think about them, as the Lord reminds you of them, speak life over their situation. Speak the destiny of God into their lives, because the future, I believe, of the generation that's here now is being entrusted to them, because they have hearts for this generation now. And I believe they're going to go be further equipped, empowered, and to receive their identity in Christ and come back and release that to our generation. Amen. God bless you all. Love you. Appreciate you. Now go and run this week.